Radio Prague News.
The IMF gives the Czech economy the all clear. The defence minister suggests she might not be in a new cabinet, and talks are due to start about army foreign missions. The Czech economy faces no real threats, with relatively high economic growth seen in the next years, according to an International Monetary Fund evaluation of the country. The annual evaluation said it could see no major imbalances, budget policy was prudent, and rising wages are a response to the need to fill jobs. The IMF says the economic growth this year at 3.7% and in 2019 at 3.2%. That's slightly down on the 3.9% and 3.4% forecasts of the Czech National Bank. Czech Defence Minister Karla Šlechtová has warned that she does not necessarily have to be in a new government headed by current Prime Minister and ANO leader Andrej Babiš. Šlechtová's comments follow revelations in Wednesday's edition of the daily Lidové noviny that she paid hundreds of thousands of crowns for the use of the VIP airport lounges at Prague's airport in her previous post as Minister for Regional Development. Šlechtová has accused the newspaper, which is owned by Babiš, of waging a campaign against her. The minister was in recent months frequently floated as an alternative ANO leader who might be tasked with creating a new government if Babiš failed. The ANO-appointed Minister of Transport, Dan Čok, has also announced he does not much wish to be a member of the new government, and which Mr. Babiš is attempting to form. Mr. Čok joins the Justice Minister, Robert Pelikán, and Minister of Foreign Affairs, Martin Stropnický, in signalling an intention not to continue serving under the Prime Minister. ANO deputy leader Richard Brabec has said that Communist Party reservations about Czech army foreign missions abroad could be dealt with on an individual basis. Brabec was responding to the threat from the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia that it would not support the proposed minority government of ANO and the Social Democrats if a policy pledge to boost foreign missions remains. Communist Party leaders said they had problems about increased participation in missions in Iraq and Afghanistan and the possibility of the Czech army playing a role in a NATO rapid reaction force in the Baltic states. An Arsenal goalkeeper, Petr Cech, says continuity is a fundamental principle for the club's new manager, who will take over from retiring Arsene Wenger. The 35-year-old Cech said failure to respect that principle could threaten the club with the same problems as Manchester United after the retirement of Sir Alex Ferguson. Cech's comments were reported in the Daily London Daily, The Evening Standard. The front-runner to take over from Wenger is former Arsenal captain Mikel Arteta. And finally, look at the weather. Thursday is expected to be cloudy with rain across most of the country. Top temperatures will range between 16 and 19 degrees Celsius.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech economy continues to thrive, but for how long is the growth sustainable? And the National Theatre celebrates an important anniversary. Later on, we look at the opportunities and challenges opening up in the field of artificial intelligence for the Czech Republic. All that coming up, so please stay with us. After strong growth last year, the Czech Republic's economy continues to thrive. Indeed, according to freshly released preliminary figures, gross domestic product expanded by 4.5% in the first quarter. This was down from the 5.5% recorded in the final quarter of last year, but is still a notable result. Ian Willoughby discussed the new data with economist Jan Bureš of Patria Finance.
4.5% growth is slightly less than I expected, but still, I think, within the range of the expectations that we've seen on the market. It's still a pretty solid growth, although a slowdown from what we saw in the second half of 2017. And we don't know much about the structure yet, but I believe, also partly Czech Statistical Office confirmed that in a statement that it was driven mainly by solid growth in domestic demand.
Is the low unemployment rate a factor in this?
Definitely low unemployment and record high employment levels play a significant role in driving the economy towards faster growth. The combination of growing employment and accelerating wages helps, on one hand, households to consume more. On the other hand, it naturally stimulates investments of in the corporate sector, as the companies do not have enough labor force on the market available. They need to invest more to be able to grow in the future.
Well, this was a slight slowdown from the previous quarter. In your view, can these kind of levels of growth be sustained in the Czech economy?
In my view, the natural growth rate is slower. It's around 3%, but looking ahead 1 year, I believe we can grow above the potential. We are at the peak of the economic cycle, and I believe that the fast consumption and investment growth will keep the economy growing above the potential rate.
And are there any grey clouds on the horizon or even in the sky now for the Czech economy, do you think?
I believe, as always, for the Czech economy, it's a small open economy, and it's always there can be a big impact from abroad. So all the risks associated with the Eurozone also are pretty serious for the Czech economy as well. Nevertheless, for now, looking ahead 1 year, I do not see a major threat for the Czech economy coming from abroad. And looking at home, there are no major imbalances that should threaten the growth in the near term.
Economist Jan Bureš of Patria Finance speaking there to Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby. Moving on now, the National Theatre in Prague, one of the country's most important cultural landmarks, celebrates an important anniversary on Wednesday. 150 years to the day, on May 16th, 1868, the foundation stone of the building, which became a symbol of the Czech national revival, was laid. Ruth Frankova reports.
The construction of the Czech National Theatre took 13 years and was partly covered by funds raised from a massive public collection. The building was completed in 1881, but only 2 months after its opening it was destroyed by fire. A new collection was held around the country to rebuild the National Theatre. The magnificent neo-Renaissance building with a distinct gilded roof was reopened 2 years later, in November 1883. The foundation stones of the National Theatre can be found in the basement of the building, 6 meters below the level of the Vltava River. The stones were provided by towns and cities from all around the country, and some still bear engravings of the place of origin. The three main stones are marked with numbers. Stones number 1 and 2 come from the hills of Radhošť in Moravia and Říp in central Bohemia. National Theatre's archivist Maria Hradecká describes the origin of the main foundation stone bearing the number 3.
Architekt Josef Zítek vymyslel, že do kamene se vybuduje taková...
The National Theatre's architect Josef Zítek wanted to create a storing space in the foundation stone, and the stones from Říp and Radhošť were not suitable for that. In the end, a huge granite block was provided by a quarry at the Lonovice near Mukarov. According to the design, there are two metal boxes embedded in the stone. One contains the theatre's foundation document with all the signatures, and the other contains coins, stones from the prison where Jan Hus was jailed, and other artefacts.
The laying of the foundation stone in 1868 became one of the biggest events of the Czech national revival. The event lasted for 3 days and was attended by around 150,000 people. Important figures from the Czech cultural and political sphere tapped the stone with a gilded hammer. One of them was composer Bedřich Smetana, whose opera Dalibor, composed especially for the occasion, was premiered on the day. National Theatre's Maria Dvořáková once again.
Za dramatické umění to byl František Kolár.
Among other people present at the event was František Kolár, a prominent actor and artistic director of the Provisional Theatre in Prague, historian František Palacký and journalist Karel Sladkovský, who were both members of the committee for the foundation of the National Theatre. Altogether, 42 people ceremonially tapped the foundation stone.
Pro založení Národního divadla a další vystřídalo se jich asi 42.
The National Theatre reopened on the 18th of November 1883 with the performance of Bedřich Smetana's opera Libuše, which was performed under the famous slogan Národ sobě, a nation unto itself. The National Theatre started with around 250 employees and today employs more than 1,300 people. To this day, more than 4,200 different performances have taken place there.
Ruth Franková with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature. Artificial intelligence is sometimes referred to as the new oil and is seen as one of the main drives of economic growth in the years to come. For the Czech Republic, the most industrialized of all European Union countries, there are clearly a lot of challenges, as one of the main elements of the so-called AI revolution will be the increased use of robots and machines effectively learning on the job and from each other. Chris Johnson has more.
Artificial intelligence and its threats and challenges were the subject of a Prague conference featuring the Czech European Commissioner, Věra Jourová, top Czech government officials, European experts, lawyers and academics. They appear at the moment to be grappling with a still wide and not totally defined concept, which among many other things embraces the processing of big data and machine learning from their experience and each other, as well as a big helping of automation and the use of robots. Many of the early predictions about AI tended to be on the alarmist side, stressing the hundreds of thousands of jobs that could be lost, and that was the case for the Czech Republic as well. More recent forecasts tend to be more upbeat, though the optimism is based on many workers adjusting to a new work environment, getting new training and changes in the education system. One such study out in the last 2 months from the consultancy Deloitte estimates that around 51% of such jobs in the Czech Republic are likely to be lost or radically transformed by automation. 21% are seen as facing a medium risk and 28% low risk as a result of the trend. Farming is one area where automation is seen making major strides, with combine harvesters, for example, operating without humans. The shelves of stores could be filled by robots and goods transported to shops and factories by automatic driverless trucks. Waiters in restaurants could be increasingly replaced by automated machines, and more close and personal, even journalists could be replaced by data crunching and word-skilled machines. But while some jobs disappear, many other opportunities will open up, according to some analysts. And the big plus for the overall economy is seen as much faster advance in productivity and overall economic growth. The Deloitte study predicts what could be seen as the next industrial revolution paying off, with a high level of economic growth over the next 16 years, averaging out at around 3.9% a year. That's around the top level of Czech economic growth over the past two decades. As a result, the whole Czech economy could advance by about twice the rate that would otherwise be the case without the widespread use of robots and the other AI applications. In the optimistic scenario, Marek Skorepa, one of the participants in the Prague conference and an economist with Česká spořitelna, said a key issue in the future would be whether the companies that see their profits grow in the Czech Republic will reinvest their income locally or send it back to their often foreign-based parent companies. If that's the case, should the government step in with special taxes? That's a particularly poignant question in the Czech Republic, given the number of foreign-owned companies across the economy. economy. Two of the building blocks of AI are the massive volumes of data now being generated by computers and programs everywhere, and the correspondingly boosted capacity to make sense of that data through new algorithms. That volume of data and accompanying processing capacity is described as the new oil. But Europe as a whole appears to be in poor position to mine the new source of wealth compared with the United States and China. They're reckoned to be streets ahead of the EU in terms of their data ownership and crunching potential. According to the European Union's own figures, it has just 4% of global data being stored in the group of 28, and the EU was widely believed to have shot itself in the foot when it came up with tough new data protection rules, commonly known by the acronym GDPR, which gave better protection to individuals at the expense of corporate users. But in the light of the Facebook Cambridge Analytics scandal about the abuse of data, Czech Commissioner Věra Jourová now says the EU stance on data protection, which she helped draft and pass, could prove a positive.
The European path means respect for individual rights and also means that we will react to a whole range of ethical questions connected with this. There is, for example, the question whether Europe should aid the development and use of artificial intelligence in the defense and military fields. There is still a question mark there. There is also the question about how far Europe's linguistic diversity, I think 24 languages in all, will be a serious break on us compared with the United States and China.
And she believes the Facebook scandal is just the start of similar privacy scandals that might tip the data balance in favour of the European Union.
In my opinion, what happened with Facebook is just the tip of an iceberg and that things have to be cleaned up. GDPR will help us to do that. You have perhaps heard that GDPR is a monster that will have an impact everywhere, but that's not the case. I have repeatedly said that common sense and reason is needed here, including in the imposition of sanctions.
In the local context, Secretary of State for European Affairs Aleš Chmelár was perhaps somewhat blunt in admitting that the Czech capacity for being an AI superpower is zero, given the limited ability to draw on and process large volumes of data.
AI and everything associated with it, such as algorithms and machine learning, is linked to the massive use of big data. Big data, when you're not a big state and without a certain cooperation of policymakers and sustained participation of the state administration, is very problematic and perhaps almost impossible. This happens in the United States, which in a certain sense is not so good for us, and in China with the cooperation between the state and the private sector. That's something which a country of 10 million people simply can't do.
The Minister for European Affairs sees a rather opportunity for the Czech Republic and Czech companies in participation in much bigger continent-wide projects.
Security is one logical area where AI should play a role. I should say, though, that developing a major project and product using AI on a global level is as demanding as creating a company to build a new civil or military aircraft. If you're not acting on a continental level, you simply can't be competitive. I think that artificial intelligence is even more complicated and complex than building a new large aircraft. And it's fundamental what the big civil aircraft companies like Airbus and Boeing get in terms of the state support offered.
In spite of this, Chmelár says the Czech government is preparing a so-called policy or white paper charting the opportunities of AI for industry, the country as a whole, and what role the state can play in the overall development. Michal Pachoček, the head of computing facility at the Czech Technical University, though does see a chance for the Czech Republic, where the auto sector is responsible for around 10% of economic output, for developing its AI capacities there, along with neighbouring countries and regions.
The Czech Republic, Slovakia and Bavaria are auto production powers. But investment in the Czech Republic in artificial intelligence in the auto sector has largely stalled. I would count on AI and the auto sector being one winning card for the Czech Republic.
He says other promising areas are cybersecurity, intelligent households, defence and the space sector, and healthcare. He also believes that Prague could fairly easily establish itself as a centre for artificial intelligence by attracting not just exiled Czech researchers to return home with their talent, but also Slovaks, Hungarians and Poles. The selling point would be the Czech capital's general attractiveness and quality of life. That could also hold true for US researchers as well. One of the pluses could be that such researchers are often behind innovative startups, which can provide a substantial boost for the whole economy. While many are looking forward to the benefits of AI and robotics in the near future, for some parts of Czech industry, it cannot come soon enough and relieve the ongoing struggle to fill job vacancies in an economy where there are more open positions than people to fill them. Milena Jaberková is vice president of the Czech Industry Association.
From part of employers, I think we are looking forward to AI and robotics because today we have 200,000, more than 200,000 unfilled positions, and this OECD study also says that in 15 years, 400,000 people will disappear from the labor market due to aging, and our friends in trade unions now propose to decrease working time. So we have serious problems really to deliver what we promised to deliver.
She complains, though, that the Czech political scene has not yet really woken up to the AI challenges and opportunities, and that this is the main obstacle to getting preparations on track.
That report by Chris Johnson. And now here's another part in our Hit of the Century poll.
Hit of the Century.
In 2010, on the 45th anniversary of the contest, the Golden Nightingale Awards were won by Karel Gott, Lucie Bílá and the band Kabát. Among the songs performed at the State Opera House in Prague in 2010 was the duet Love in a Bun. The duo, Ksindl X and Olga Lonova, were joined on stage by singers Lucie Bílá, Karel Gott and opera diva Eva Urbanová, playing bells, the triangle and castanets, respectively. Dancers on stage were also given instruments to play. Love in a Bun won over the entire Smetana Hall at the Opera House. That evening, Ksindl X won a Golden Nightingale in the biggest gainer category. We'll have a listen to it now. Here it is, Love in a Bun.
Všech rajt, Kentucky Fried. A nabízíš mi dnešní výhodný menu za polovinu ceny. Strekamním úsměvem zkoušíš mi vnutit výhodný menu jen s polovinou chuti. Menu jen s polovinou ingrediencí, co doopravdy chci. Menu, kde půlka chodů je jenom do počtu. A to je ten hlavní důvod, proč tu u okýnka váhám zatěšit hlad s něčím, co nemám rád. Vždyť víš, co chci.
Já vím, ale nejde. Objednat si lice.
Musím si vzít i něco, co se mi hnusí, a k tomu super size. Co pak jsem mohl nadít se, že co chci bylo jen v sezónní nabídce. Ruku svírám v pěst a v ní bezednej hrnek hořkosti jen za 36. Kam jsem to došel, je to má mekači, jsem opět jenom v mekáči. A má paní je vítězkou, klání mi z kompromis. Vždyť víš, co chci.
Já vím, ale nejde o to, kdo co chce.
Vždyť víš, co chci.
Já vím, ale já mám svoje instrukce.
Vždyť víš, co chci.
Já vím, ale nabídka určuje poptávku.
Přesto svěžně prosím, myslíš mou objednávku.
Šel jsi až ke mně, tak bys měl si něco dát. Všechno se dá ztrápit, když je hlad.
Frontu jsem si vystál, najednou není oč stát.
Láska v housce, instantní cit, prefabrikát. Já vím, co chceš.
No jo, ale nejde o to, kdo co chce.
Já vím, co chceš.
No jo, ale ty máš ty svý instrukce.
Já vím, co chceš.
No jo, ale nabídka určuje poptávku.
Tak už pochop, že nepřijmu tvou objednávku.
Vždyť víš, co chci.
Já vím, ale nejde o to, kdo co chce.
Vždyť víš, co chci.
Já vím, ale já mám svoje instrukce.
Vždyť víš, co chci.
Já vím, ale nabídka určuje poptávku.
Přesto svěžně prosím, myslíš.
Tak už pochop, že nepřijmu tvou
objednávku.
The 2010 hit song in our Hit of the Century poll, and you will hear all of this week's songs in the running in Radio Prague's Sunday Music Show. And I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, send a mail to english@radio.cz. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.